Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
Family owned and operated for over 35 years, Catfish Cabin 2 is a family-friendly environment with a menu that caters to everyone. They have their famous catfish specialties as well as shrimp, steaks, chicken, salads, and their newest favorite, crab claws. Consistently great food and outstanding service, I encourage you to give them a try. Go to Catfish Cabin 2 in Athens, Alabama, located at 906 U.S. Highway 72 East. Find them on the web at athenscatfishcabin.com or give them a call at 256-233-0803. Booking for parties and meetings as well. That's Catfish Cabin 2 in Athens, Alabama.
Share the hush puppies.
Commercial Drilling provides safe, quality drilling services at a rate of productivity second to none. Our goal is to provide products and services at a reasonable cost that exceed our client expectations. Commercial Drilling, where customer service and a handshake still mean something.
We appreciate Commercial Drilling. Check them out on the web at commercialdrilling.com or give them a call at 256-679-8181.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set them in. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Abilene, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advanced Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525 or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Hear the lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome.
20 years ago, I drove to Tuscumbia, Alabama, to the Alabama Music Hall of Fame. Wanted to get a couple of demos made to enter some contests in the Musical Explosion in Athens. At that time, I met George Lehrer. Today, 20 years later, I was able to sit down with George and talk about his history in music and even some health issues he's had to deal with over the past few years.
Shortly after I graduated from college, I hit the road, hitchhiked out west, and but I was fortunate when I came back. I was out there for about 6 years. When I came back, I had a good friend that asked me to go to a dinner with him. And the host or hostess was Diane Butler, who was the publisher at Muscle Shoals Sound. So when she knew that I was interested in a job, she suggested that I come down and talk with Jimmy Johnson. I was able to do that, and Jimmy liked me, and so I went to work there. the very first band that I worked with, I was his production assistant. So if Jimmy was producing someone, then I would be in the studio with him and keep track of who was playing and tape cost and different things like that. It was the Amazing Rhythm Aces who were my very favorite band. I mean, I had all their stuff. And so it was a real impact right off the bat of get over any, you know, fan type thing and just deal with these people as people. And there were some excellent artists that came through there, and all were, for the most part, humble people. I mean, some, you know, more humble than others, but none of them really had a big head that they said, you know, oh, I'm the star kind of attitude. So it was easy to mix with most of them. There was Roger McGuinn and Chris Hillman were there of the Byrds, and on their breaks they would roller skate up and down the hallway. I thought that was a pretty neat way to kind of loosen up between sessions. Another odd one was Johnny Rivers, who had these attachments that he would put on his ankles, and he had a bar that he would put in a doorway, and then he would hang upside down. And I tried that for about 10 seconds, and all the blood was rushing to my head. I, get me down, get me down. Those were two unusual things. Had a couple of faux pas that were kind of funny stories, I felt like. We had a records and producers seminar out at Joe Wheeler, and we would have people from LA, Nashville, Atlanta, New York in there, and we would pitch our product, upcoming artists that were going to be there, so that we could get songs coming in for them. And then product that we had done, maybe on spec, that we were trying to get a deal on. I was in charge of the suite for Muscle Shoals Sound. They told us all, lock up the suites when there's a seminar going on. Don't let anybody in there. So Roger Hawkins and I are walking to the seminar, and this guy comes up, I mean, just a country bumpkin kind of guy. I got to get in the suite. I told him, I said, I'm sorry. They have this deal going that they don't want you to get in there. He just kind of lowered his head, and he was going to walk off. And Roger said, you can let him in. That's Spooner Olam. That was one of my first encounters with Spooner. And, of course, Spooner is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and played with Dylan and toured with Dylan and with Neil Young and came up with the lick on Aretha Franklin's session at Fame that got everybody going for that session. So quite a celebrity, but the most humble person you'd ever want to meet. He was ready to just walk away because I had said that, even though he didn't even know who I was. But since, we've gotten to be friends, and I'm blessed to know all the people that I know. Another situation was, I was told to go to the airport and pick this guy up. It was the Muscle Shoals Airport, close. So he was really a fashionable guy. He was from England. I told him all about Wilson Dam, Henry Ford coming in wanting to buy it, how all these investors came in and bought up the land and did improvements with sidewalks and curbs and gutters and fire hydrants. And at that time, that was all still there in the cotton fields. So he could really appreciate what I was showing him. A little sidebar, my grandfather, who was born in 1861, my grandfather, he worked there on the dam and was able to retire. It was built by the Corps of Engineers. All the other dams on the Tennessee River were built by TVA, but that first one was by the Corps of Engineers. He was able to retire on a pension based on the economy prior to the Depression. So he had a pretty good retirement. I got back to the studio with this fella, and everybody came rushing up to me wanting to know what he had said and what we talked about and everything. And I was kind of bumfuzzled as to why they were asking me. And they said, man, that was George Martin, the fifth Beatle, the guy that produced all the Beatles material. Another time that, well, I look back on it and I think, just getting off an airplane, he didn't want to be quizzed, you know. I'm sure that's what happened everywhere he went. So I hope I was a refreshing thing for him to come into Muscle Shoals and give him a little history. One Saturday, when all the receptionists and all were gone, got a call. I was answering phones. This guy wanted to talk to Jimmy. I said, well, he's kind of busy right now, you know. Could I take a message? No, I need to talk to Jimmy. We kept going around and around, you know, and he said, this is Jerry Walker. Well, Jerry Walker, that didn't mean anything to me. But after a while, he said, this is Jerry Jeff Walker. And Jerry Jeff Walker was coming in for Jimmy to produce him for a country album. And Jerry Jeff Walker, if you are too young to know, he was a very prominent member of that outlaw group that came up that challenged Nashville, you know, with others would be Waylon Jennings and all those guys, so and Willie Nelson. So those were three things that kind of stick out in my memory. I was fortunate that I was able to work with Glenn Frey of the Eagles for a long period of time. He's probably the artist that I came to talk with most and get closer to than anyone else. Very intelligent. We exchanged books and discussed the books. And then he went to Jimmy and asked if Jimmy would let me go on the road with him and make sure that everything was in line for hotels and airlines. And I was very efficient in what I did. I made sure that everything was done and did not have to be asked. I foresaw things that needed attention. I always tried to anyway, and I think that impressed him. But Jimmy didn't want to let me go, for one thing, and I was uncertain about doing that too, because that would have been a completely different lifestyle than what I was accustomed to.
We're talking to George Lehrer at the Alabama Music Hall of Fame in Tuscumbia, Alabama. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about George's career and the path that he took in life. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I am your host, Mark White.
Hear the lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call. Located in the Foodland Shopping Center at 16041 Highway 72 in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Located at 1207 East Forest Street behind CVS on Highway 31 in Athens, Suzanne's Bakery is open Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 5:30, and Thursday and Friday morning from 6:30 until 6 in the evening. You can also place to-go orders for a meal or fresh baked dessert to enjoy with your family, or even have an event catered. Check out Suzanne's menu at suzannesbakery.com or give them a call at 256-232-8210.
Fresh baked.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Commercial Drilling provides safe, quality drilling services at a rate of productivity second to none. Our goal is to provide products and services at a reasonable cost that exceed our client expectations.
Commercial Drilling, where customer service and a handshake still mean something.
We appreciate Commercial Drilling. Check them out on the web at commercialdrilling.com or give them a call at 256-679-8181.
Hi, this is Holly McDonald with Keller Williams in Madison. I would like to thank the Mark White Show for making a difference. Like Mark, I have a passion for helping people. I've been serving North Alabama for the past 15 years with their real estate dreams, and I love what I do. Whether if it's finding your first home, selling your current home, or finding your forever home, it is my honor to be a part of your real estate journey. Let my years of experience work for you. Call or text me, Holly McDonald, at 256-990-1004.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
As we make our way through the museum, George shares stories of Alabama songwriters, information that he learned when he was curator here at the Alabama Music Hall of Fame.
Ava Aldridge was a fabulous songwriter. She could write a song for particular people. She would listen to their albums and you know, gear her music for that. But she taught songwriting or encouraged songwriters and did a workshop in the back of the Hall of Fame here. There's a banquet hall that she worked out of. And a lot of those people would go on to be big-time songwriters or artists or whatever. But she and Lenny LeBlanc and Cindy Walker were staff songwriters at Muscle Shoals Sound. And so when they found out that John Prine was going to be coming, they sat down and wrote a John Prine song that was more John Prine than any of the songs John Prine had written for that particular album. The album was titled after the song that they wrote, which was Storm Windows. So the album Storm Windows is a song credited with for Ava and Lenny and Cindy.
When it comes to Alabama songwriters, you don't need Google. You just need George Lair.
There's a fellow that nobody knows about that I feel responsible for his induction in a way. I read his biography and discovered James Reese Europe, who was born in Mobile, Alabama. His parents moved to New York City, and he formed the first black musicians union in the United States. He was the first to play Carnegie Hall. He was the first to record W.C. Handy music. He worked with the Castles to come up with the Foxtrot, so he did the music for the Foxtrot. During World War I, he formed a brigade out of Harlem that went over to France and fought. The Americans wouldn't fight with the black troops. He was a black man. And so they were assigned to the French forces. He fought on the front lines, but he also had a band that he popularized jazz all over France. He was a favorite of General Pershing's. And when they returned to the United States after the war, his band led the parade down Fifth Avenue, which is unbelievable for the times that a black band would have that honor. Unfortunately, he's not better known because he had a little group that he was taking around playing, and the drummer became incensed about something and killed him. So James Reese Europe is not a name that most people recognize, but a very important figure in jazz music, not only in the United States, but in Europe as well.
I was able to sit down with George and talk about some health issues he's had to deal with over the past few years.
One of the things with cirrhosis is a common thing is you build up ammonia that goes to your brain and makes your thinking very fuzzy. And so I had to retire on disability. And I had to quit all of my church duties. I taught a Sunday school class. I had a Wednesday night class that I did. I had to give all that up because I didn't trust my own thinking anymore. Really tough time. I was able to go to UAB and go through three or four days of interviews and various things where they qualified you to be able to be on the recipient list for a transplant. I was on that list for 4 years. At that point, I didn't think that I was going to get a transplant. You have to come to terms with your own mortality. And so that was a really spiritual time for me to try to come to terms with, why am I here? What does God have planned for me? I have related that to a lot of young people. After I got a liver transplant finally, after two false calls, I finally got called a third time, November 13th, which was a Friday the 13th, I had a new liver. And it was a female liver. And I started taking the anti-rejection drugs, and I started having hot flashes. Well, the nurse and my wife thought that was the funniest thing in the world. It's horrible. It's heat that's generated inside, and there's nothing you can do about it. When I got myself back together after the transplant, I started teaching a young adults class, and I told them the story of how I had to deal with my own mortality and how that was such a positive thing because it makes you live life on a day-to-day basis and be more directed in your life in relating to other people. And I feel like I'm an encourager. I try to be an encourager. I think that's my gift that I have to give. So I told them that on a Sunday. I had labs that were still showing a really low hemoglobin level and a super enlarged spleen that was supposed to be the size of my fist and it was the size of my head. So they did a bone marrow biopsy and they discovered that I have a gene mutation. It's not hereditary, it's just a mutation that happens. My bone marrow is becoming more and more fibrous and produces fewer red blood cells. So my spleen was trying to compensate for that and catch up. I had to go over the mortality thing all over again. I needed it because, like I told them that Sunday, while I had experienced it at one point, it had been a couple of years, and I had gotten away from that feeling of every day you need to make your mark. I had to get back to that. And I try to live my life now where I listen to the whispers in my head that tell me, go and talk to that person, or call that person up, or encourage this person. Whatever it is, I want to be there for other people. It gives me energy as well. I go every 2 weeks and I get 2 units of blood, and that picks me up. And I get energy from other people. And I hope it's reciprocal, that they get energy from me. That's the way I live my life now. I run down, like the 13th day, man, I know I've got to get in and get more blood. I've built up a relationship with the ladies that do the transfusions, and I try to stay around positive people, and that gives me the energy that I need to get through life, and I know that God has a purpose for me.
After talking to George about all of his music experiences and his health issues, George shared what he's doing today.
Now I am involved in tours of the studios and of the Hall of Fame. And that has become a very successful thing for me. I'm listed on the state tourism site as a step-on tour guide. I have worked with tours from Switzerland and England and Scotland and all over the United States, large bus tours. And then I have my own personal business where I will do one person or, you know, five, six, seven, whatever, and show them around the studios. I have a packet of information I give them, not only on the studios that they will be seeing, but on the studios that are no longer in operation, and on many of the players. They have something that they can take away if they don't remember all that I've told them or all that they learned in the studios with the tours. They have information that they can go back and refresh their memory on. I'm kind of known now as a music historian of this area. I'm listed on TripAdvisor. I have a website. I have numerous Facebook pages, but I have one that's dedicated to Muscle Shoals VIP Music Tours. My website is muscleshoalstours.com. I can be reached by text or phone at 256-627-0103.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with George Lehrer, and I'd like to thank the Alabama Music Hall of Fame for allowing us to be able to have our interview there in Tuscumbia, Alabama. I hope you'll stick with us. We have the Mary Fay Hedrick Good Deed segment coming up next. It's dedicated to my friend Johnny Richardson.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Commercial Drilling provides safe, quality drilling services at a rate of productivity second to none. Our goal is to provide products and services at a reasonable cost that exceed our client expectations. Commercial Drilling, where customer service and a handshake still mean something.
We appreciate Commercial Drilling. Check them out on the web at commercialdrilling.com or give them a call at 256-679-8181.
Discover fascinating animals from the islands of the world when you visit the brand new Island Life exhibit at Tennessee Aquarium. You'll be amazed at what you find.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525 or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown. Because those dear hearts and gentle people will never, ever let you down.
I think I speak for all in saying that a great and godly man has passed from life, and he will be missed. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 14 when he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Did you hear that, family? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Johnny and I have been brothers in Christ for many years, but it's only been in the last 4.5 years after his near-fatal heart attack that we became very close friends. And last night I was trying to analyze how this all started, and I figured it out. Johnny called me up and said, "Frank, I need you." "Well, what do, Jerry, when he says I need you?"
"Come."
"You say, you do what you can." And I said, "What do you need?" And he said, "Well, we made a blade, forged a blade down at the Rustic Youth Camp, and it was given to me, and he said, can you make a knife out of it?" And I said, "We'll make a knife." He says, "I want it for Mark's birthday." So we made a knife, and he took it and had it engraved for Mark's birthday. Johnny and I became closer together when I preached at Eastside for a period of time in 2018. He served as an elder, and I was the preacher there, and certainly that relationship increased. We made bowls together. And if I were to ask how many people here have a bowl that Johnny made, there'd be a lot of hands to go up, I'm sure. And even though he couldn't see, he could tell me what to do, and we made bowls. And he could fill those bowls and tell me what I needed to do to those bowls. And George Hutto said last night, said, "You know, Johnny now has 20/20 vision." Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I think about making those knives together, and that kind of crossed over into the artifacts that Johnny and Nell had collected over the years. Johnny had an extensive collection of Indian artifacts, and on one occasion he handed me a 1,000-year-old point to make a knife out of, and that was kind of frightening to me that he entrusted me to do that, but the build went well. It worked out. In fact, the last thing we did together not too long ago was to make necklaces together out of artifacts that Nell and Johnny had found. And it was that same day Johnny and I went to the Rustic Youth Camp. And Nell didn't want him to go because he'd had a bad day the day before, but he felt better that day. And she said, "I knew when he got up this morning and put that particular shirt on, he was going to camp with you." I said, "Nell, if he dies, he'll die happy." We went to camp. And Leon, I want to thank you so much. When the young men were there, there was about 100 young men that were interested in preaching the gospel. And Leon got everyone's attention at lunchtime. And before they had the prayer for the food, he said, "I just want you to know that Johnny Richardson is here today." And heads turned. And Leon had so many kind things to say about Johnny. And I thought, this is a special day. Thank you, Lord, for this day. But to top all of that, several of those young men came up to speak to Johnny. They wanted to meet him. They introduced themselves to him. I remember one young man in particular said, "My grandparents went to church where you preached so many years ago." And Johnny indeed had an influence on so many people. I'm sure each of you have your own precious memories of Johnny. And I'm reminded of that old hymn which says, "Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight. Precious sacred scenes unfold." Monday, I received a post from Mark White of Athens, and he talked about Johnny, and I just wanted to share with you a part of what he said. He said, "I found out my friend Johnny Richardson passed away this morning. With Christ as his example, Johnny's life was spent in service to others. There will be no announcements on the news, no trending post, no lowering of the flag, but Johnny was my hero, and he was a hero in his own right. A woodworker and a builder, Johnny used his talents for good, traveling with a group of men, building buildings for worship around the country. Personally, he had an undeniable impact on my life." I wonder how many people could say that. I'm sure there are a number of people here, people like Ronnie. It just made that he had that impact. Derek had an impact on your life. And I'm sure most of you know that Johnny and Jackie, and along with others, several whom are here today, went throughout the country building buildings that people could worship in. And if I remember correctly, they built over 50 buildings, somewhere close almost to 60 buildings they built for different churches. Johnny freely volunteered his time to the Rustic Youth Camp. It was important to him. He worked there. He taught there. He did anything he could to help the camp. And I personally think about Johnny and some of the things that are characteristics of Johnny. One of the things, I guess the first thing in my notes is he enjoyed people. He was a people person. And he enjoyed humor. And if you were around Johnny, you knew that. You knew about his humor. I was talking to a brother yesterday that worships at East Florence, where I preach now, Brother Bud Thrasher, and he told the story about one time when he and Johnny, when Johnny was preaching at East Florence, said they decided to go fishing. Johnny and Bud and two other fellows from the church there, and they came down to, I guess, to Cedar Creek, somewhere down here in Franklin County. And they had two boats, and Bud said, Johnny and I were in one boat, and the other two fellows were in the other boat, and said, we were apart a ways, and said we were fishing, and we just weren't doing any good at all, and said, Johnny caught a real nice fish. And he yelled out, hey, and held that fish up. All the folks in the other boat had to be envious to see such a beautiful fish. And so he put it in the live well, and they sat there a while, and nothing happened. And Johnny said, watch this. And he reached in that live well, and he jerked that fish up again and said, hey! I thought, boy, Johnny is really catching the fish. Well, after a little while, Johnny reached down, got that fish again, stood up, said, hey! And they thought, boy, Johnny is really catching the fish. Bud said he did that about five times before the folks in the other boat came over to said, we want to see those fish. Johnny said, you've already seen my fish. I just want to make sure you saw them. I received a message yesterday from Andrew Roberts, who held a couple of meetings at East Florence. He's now preaching in Tampa. And he had this to say about Johnny. He said, Johnny made a real impression on me as a young preacher for being genuinely encouraging. He said, I recall one time when I was holding a meeting at Russville, at Eastside in Russville, and I had a long day. He said, during that week, two people back home in Columbia had died, and so he would have to preach it at Russville, and the next morning get up, or that night leave and go back to Columbia and do the funeral, come back to Russville. He had to do that twice. And he said, I was really thought I'd earned my stripes as a preacher during all of that. And he said, I was telling Mike Mara and Johnny Richardson about my long day when Johnny began to tell me a story about a day that he had. He said he had a wedding, two funerals, and a gospel meeting all on the same day. He even had to cross state lines to get where he had to be. He said, I wasn't quite sure I was going to make it back to preach at the meeting, but luckily there was a brother with an airplane. Andrew said, he topped me. And Andrew continued, he said, his wit was so dry, I'm still not sure if that really happened. Or if he was just putting me on. Yet I kind of think it happened. He knew people everywhere. When I think about Johnny, I think about a good man. Micah 6 verse 8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's Johnny. Several years ago, I saw Roy Clark, the country music star, interviewed on television, and somebody asked him, said, Roy, said, what would you like to have put on your tombstone? And he thought for a minute, and he said, he done good. And I thought, maybe that's what needs to be on Johnny's. He done good. Johnny loved the Lord. He loved the Lord's people. He gave his life in service to God. He started out as a teacher and a coach. And knowing Johnny, he could have been a superintendent or even beyond that in the field of education. He could have gone so far because he was so talented, had so much ability. And he was such a people person. But he chunked it to become a gospel preacher, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so his life work took him to churches in Mississippi and Arkansas and Alabama. And in all of these places, he was loved by so many. I got another message this morning from Mark White, the old Mark White, not the young Mark White. If you know Mark, you know what I'm talking about. And Mark said several years ago, he said, I went to preach the same church where Johnny and Neil were years ago. So preached the same church about 15 years apart. And he said, we moved in the same house that Johnny and Neil were in. And he said, one of the neighbors came over and said, you know, said there used to be a preacher that lived here and he sure could fry fish. And so they impressed their neighbors. Johnny could fry fish. His example, his willingness to teach and to preach brought many people to the Lord. Johnny lived an exemplary life. When I think about Johnny, I think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He said, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Johnny's life was an imitation of Jesus Christ. And when I think of terms that I would use to describe Johnny, there are terms like dedication, service, devotion, husband, father, grandfather, brother, uncle, hard worker, always diligent, loving and caring about others. That was Johnny Richardson. But the most important thing about Johnny was that he was a child of God. Revelation 14, verse 13, John writes, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" Johnny's works will follow him. Follow him in the lives that were touched by Johnny. Last Thursday night, Don and Brenda Miller and Julia and I went to Johnny's, and Johnny and Neil were there, and Chris and Maybeth and Mark. And we just had a real, real good time. It was so wonderful because Johnny felt good. He was able to sit up and he talked about his life. He talked about places where he'd preached, when he started, where he'd preached, what he'd done in life. And then he said, in planning his funeral, he said, "If you could think of a few good words to say, that'd be okay." But his last request was this: "I want the gospel invitation of Jesus Christ extended, and so I'm going to share that with you," as I think Johnny would have done that. Johnny would say, if you want to know what God has to say, you need to hear what God has to say, and you find that in the Word of God, and you need to read it and study it and make application. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God will produce faith in your hearts. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Johnny would say, not only do you need to hear what God has to say, but you need to believe it. And he might use John chapter 8, verse 24, which says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Johnny would have said, the Bible also teaches that you must repent of your sins. He would say that means to turn away from your sins, to have a mental change, an attitude toward your former life. And he would probably use Luke chapter 13, verse 3. "I tell you, no, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." He might have used verse 5, two verses later, which says, "I tell you, no, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then he would say, and you need to be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, the risen Savior, the Son of God. You must be willing to say that before other people, to let people know who you are and about your change in life. And he might even use that example in Acts chapter 8 of the Ethiopian man who was taught by Philip in Gaza. And as they were riding down the road, the man said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's a confession. And then Johnny would say, you know, you need to be baptized into Christ. Not because people tell you it's just the thing to do, but in order to have remission of your sins. A doctrine that's so different from what many people today and many churches teach. But Johnny would go back to the Bible and say, that's what the Bible teaches. He might point out Acts chapter 2 when Peter was preaching that first gospel sermon. And the people asked him, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of your sins. He might use the example of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus as recorded in Acts chapter 22 at verse 16, where Luke says that Ananias came into Saul and said, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what Johnny would say. And he would say, if you do this, you'll be prepared for eternity. That's what Johnny did. And so if there is anyone here in the sound of my voice that has not done this, We would invite you to see us after this service and talk to us about your soul salvation. Johnny may have been more concerned about your soul than you. I know that Johnny, like the Apostle Paul, was ready to be with the Lord. I recall what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "Now I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but all those also who love his appearing." Johnny Richardson fought the good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. And now he's laid down his cross and taken up his crown. And it is our sincere hope to see him again someday. I want to close with two of Johnny's favorite scriptures, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the other passage that was a favorite of Johnny's is Isaiah 40 at verse 31, where the prophet says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It's our hope to see Johnny again someday.
Welcome to the Make a Difference Minute replay from The Mark White Show. Here we play Make a Difference Minute segments from the past week as we try to make a difference in the lives of others. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show. Today's Make a Difference Minute is sponsored by CEI and Truth Publications.
This is Mike Johnson. I looked at a post and it was from Sandy. She has a child by the name of Cody Northcutt. Cody was born at less than 2 pounds. He has suffered with cerebral palsy his whole life and he's had some really severe problems recently. In fact, Cody's had 6 surgeries on his shunt into his brain since April of this year. On her post on Facebook, it really grabbed my heart. She said she would like to give him a good birthday this year. The doctors have pretty much led them to believe this very well could be his last. We'd like to give Cody a good birthday. I encourage your audience to help us in this endeavor. Go to A Very Special Birthday for Cody or Pray for Cody. Both of those pages are on Facebook. There's ample ways that we can reach out and help this family who is hurting so badly. This cry for help, I think we all have the ability to respond to. There's a prayer wall. There's a gift list. Cody and his sister has a 5-year-old sister. Things that they would like to have. We certainly can reach out and help this family, and I encourage you all to pray about it and do what you feel led to do. Mark White's audience is the best, most caring people, and I'm certain that we'll come through for these people. Thank you so much.
This Make a Difference Minute has been sponsored by CEI Bookstore and Truth Publications. Give them a call at 855-492-6657 or visit them on the web at truthbooks.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook as well as other social media outlets like Twitter and Instagram. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today. This Make a Difference Minute is sponsored by Skincare by Donna, located in Athens, Alabama. We're at Huntsville International Airport, and I'm standing here with Charlie Miller, who served in Vietnam, and he's on his way to Washington, D.C. with Forever Young Senior Veterans, Forever Young Senior Veterans in Alabama. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Charlie.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Tell me what it's like for you to have this experience to head to D.C. today with all of these gentlemen who served in the military.
It's very exciting. From years past, we all realized that we did not get to welcome home
that we deserve. So for me and with my chapter, it's very exciting to be able to do this.
You're the president of a Vietnam organization in Huntsville. Tell me about that.
I'm the president of the Vietnam chapter 1067, which is the largest chapter in the state of Alabama. We have currently 650 members, and we all suffer from some of the ailments of the war.
What are some experiences that you've had where some of the guys are able to help others in the challenges they're facing?
Just the camaraderie and the friendship. We have a program we call Tell My Story, and when people stand up in our meetings and tell their stories, they connect with one another. That's the plus that we do in our unit.
A trip like this to Washington, D.C., where you get to take it with other veterans is part of that as well.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to look at that wall up there. We're going to put our hand on some of our comrades that we lost in the war. It's truly exciting, and we're going to discuss those when we get back.
Charlie Miller, Vietnam veteran here in Huntsville, Alabama, headed to Washington, D.C. I hope you have a great trip. Enjoy yourself, Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Skincare by Donna, for sponsoring today's Make a Difference Minute, located at 905B South Clinton Street, Athens, Alabama. Give Donna a call at 256-497-9716. If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today. This Make a Difference Minute is sponsored by Holly McDonald with Keller Williams Realty. I'm here at the Lexington Town Hall, Lexington, Alabama, with Chief Augie Hendershot. Augie did a special fundraiser last night. He used his talent in woodworking and made a couple of wooden bowls. I wanted him to share with you why he did that. Welcome to the program, Augie.
My mom died of cancer about 17 years ago, and it was not breast cancer, but there's so many people that live around here that are survivors, and they have such amazing stories. We wanted to be able to do something to raise money. We decided to do a fundraiser. I have a very good friend of mine. She used to be a dispatcher for us back in the early 90s. We followed her story for about the last 2 years or so. I called her one day and said, "You're my inspiration," along with so many other people that live here in the Lexington area that I know that are survivors. We decided to try to raise money. We figured we'd try it by making some of these bowls. It's black walnut, and it actually come from Walnut Street in Florence off of a old tree that was there. This was our first auction. We ended up with $350. That was way more than we anticipated, and we were happy.
We'd like to thank Holly McDonald with Keller Williams Realty for sponsoring today's Make a Difference Minute. Give her a call at 256-990-1004. If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today. Today's Make a Difference Minute is sponsored by Green's Dependable Hardware, located in Russellville, Alabama.
Right now, we're with Neil Naaman, and he is from Hazel Green, Alabama, and he's headed with this group, Forever Young Senior Veterans, Forever Young Senior Veterans in Alabama.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Tell me what this trip to D.C. and the camaraderie that you have with fellow military members means to you.
It brings us all back together, and we have a chance to celebrate our history with each other and visit a lot of history in the Washington area. I lived there in the past and saw the Vietnam Memorial in 1986. I have not been back to that area since then. I'm really looking forward to it, to share this with all of our chapter members and our president, and all of these guys are our brothers. We just have a great time together, and we're looking forward to extend that into the Washington area.
How did you find out about Forever Young Senior Veterans in Alabama and the work that they're doing?
Chris came and did a presentation to our chapter at one of our meetings a while back, and we conversed there, and we were just contacted that they wanted to take us to D.C. And I said, "Well, let's go."
Today's Make a Difference Minute is sponsored by Green's Dependable Hardware, located in Russellville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-331-0123. Find them on the web at greensdependablehardware.com. If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
This Make a Difference Minute is sponsored by Holtz Pest Control in Athens, Alabama.
Hi, Mark. My name is Jerry Ferris, and I need your help. I'll try to be brief. I have a severe physical disability called spinal muscular atrophy. It requires a special wheelchair to sit in and a special hospital bed to sleep in. I have an appointment at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota on November 5th for a life-saving operation on my thyroid. In addition to renting a wheelchair-accessible van, I'll also have to rent and pay for a special hospital bed to be carried with me on the trip as well. This is a very expensive trip, and my only income is $780 disability. I have a GoFundMe page that we hope can help shoulder the burden of the cost of this trip. If there's any way that you can help get the word out and encourage some help, I would be eternally grateful. Thank you, and God bless.
Jerry Ferris of Morris, Alabama has asked for our help, and we're going to help him. Go to GoFundMe.com/JerryGoesToMayo and support this effort right now. Also, share it with your friends and let them know about Jerry's situation. People like Jerry are the reason the Mark White Show exists. Again, this Make a Difference Minute has been sponsored by Holtz Pest Control in Athens, Alabama. Find them on the web at HoltzPestControl.com. If you have a suggestion for the Make a Difference Minute, send it to Mark.White@WLXOnline.com. Be sure to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also go to the show archives at themarkwhiteshow.com. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
We'd like to thank the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, for sponsoring today's Make a Difference Minute.
Hi, friends. It's Catherine the Great here. I'm so excited to share a Make a Difference Minute with you. I wanted to encourage you that there's only one of you. You were created uniquely just as you are. So there's absolutely no reason whatsoever to ever compare yourself to anyone else. That's why it's so important in Catherine the Great we learn about seven main affirmations. Affirmation is a positive statement we say about ourselves. I am magical. I am colorful. I am love. I am kind. I am unique. I am grateful. I am joyful. Those are seven affirmations of what I am, and what I am, you are too. In fact, everyone is. Go out and have a great day, and always remember, your life makes a difference.
This Make a Difference Minute has been brought to you by the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Find them on the web at alamhof.org or give them a call at 256-381-4417. If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Welcome to the Make a Difference Minute from the Mark White Show. We'd like to thank today's sponsor, Catfish Cabin 2, located in Athens, Alabama.
This is Sean Dietrich, also known as Sean of the South, for the Mark White Show. My message is, when you feel sad or under a curse, your life is bad, your prospects are worse, your wife is sighing, crying, and your live oak tree is dying. Temples of gray and teeth are decaying, and creditors are weighing your purse. Your mood and your clothes are both a deep blue. You bet that Job had nothing on you. Don't forget that when you get to the end, you will be blessed. Yes, it's all for the best. Even though some men are born to live at ease, doing as they please, richer than the bees are, and honey never growing old, never filling gold, pulling pots of gold from thin air. The best in every town, best chicken down, best making mountains of money. They can't take it with them, but what do they care? They get the center of the meat, cushions on the seat, houses on the street where it's sunny. Wind is warm and free, wind is at the sea, wind is on, but we get the rest. But who is the land for, the sun and the sand for? You guessed, it's for you, and it's all for the best.
Again, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Catfish Cabin 2, located at 906 U.S. Highway 72 East in Athens, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-233-0803 or check them out on the web at athenscatfishcabin.com. If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, as well as other social media outlets like Twitter and Instagram. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
College.